This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to Sons of Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn, a gun.
I'm Pete,
also a gun. We're all three guns here. We got a celebrity dad. He's a gun. We can't say who it is, but it's Sean Gunn. And we're going to be talking
Legally, we can't say that.
Unrelated. Okay.
Legal counsel, Pete LePage.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't say gun. It's Justin Gunn, Alex Gunn, and our lawyer, Pete LePage.
That's right. No comment, he says. No comment.
We're going to be talking about episode 5 of Creature Commandos, The Iron Pot. If you haven't checked it out on Max, please do. But we got three trains running this episode. In the past, we find out what happened to Eric Frankenstein after the events of the Brides flashback, where he met an old lady, and I should mention spoilers here, killed her at the end of the episode.
Another fun storyline from our friends at Creature Commandos.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want somebody to be lonely. I mean, come on. And then in the present, we got two things going to stick on the Frankenstein bed. Frankenstein and Rick Flagg are teaming up to investigate McPherson, who turns out to be dead and replaced by Clayface. They have a big fight that seemingly leaves both Clayface and Rick Flagg dead at the end there, though they have found out
not my Clayface
was McFixen. I don't know. Trying something out there. McPherson was McFixen.
McPherson was not the real McCoy.
All right, maybe that's better. Anyway, the other thing is the Creature Commandos have arrived once again at Pakolistan with the mission to kill Princess Alana, but everybody kind of knows what's going on, leading to a huge fight in Pakolistan with the Creature Commandos on the run. So that's the three stuff going. What'd you guys think?
And the princess reveal at the end that says the only plan moving forward is we got to kill everyone.
Yeah, she's not seeming as fun as she used to be.
Mm-hmm. Hey, she's just trying to protect herself. You know, being a princess in this world, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, Pete would know.
Suspect.
He's a double threat, an attorney and a princess.
That's right.
Yeah. As the man who's seen the Princess Diaries the most on this
Princess
podcast?
Bride the most.
No, Princess Swap. What's the one you like? What's the one?
Yeah, the Princess Switcheroo, the one with
The Princess Switch.
The Princess Switch. I knew you like a princess. You're a pretty princess.
Seen all of them, man.
You're a pretty princess, Pete.
Now, Justin, I want to start with you, and not to call you out here, but seems like this episode was pretty light in your estimation. We were talking before we got on. What's your issue here? What's going on?
I mean, it's fine. It's fun. There's just not a lot to hold on to, I feel like, in these episodes. What? Maybe that's...
We get so much information in this episode.
Yeah. It's just maybe the flashbacks feel less interesting each time. I don't want to sound too harsh, but this one was just like a hangout with Frankenstein and this old woman who she had magic cream to give him. I was like, what is happening here? And then he just kills her in the end.
Look great afterwards. Like, it looked like magic cream. Yeah.
Yeah. Where could I get that cream? The DC?
Gypsy shit.
DC shop? DC shop, maybe? I'm sure they're selling that magical gypsy cream to heal your dead man wounds. I got to say, I agree with both of you, but maybe a little more on the negative, Pete. I do think there's a lot of information here, but I'm having the same issue that I had with the previous episodes, which is it's laying out information, but it's not really connecting the thoughts at all. Like the flashback with Frankenstein, yes, we absolutely do learn Frankenstein's backstory. There is somewhat of an arc there, like Justin was indicating, maybe not a ton of arc, But, you know, it just drives home again that, like, Frankenstein is not a good guy when he kills the old lady at the end. And is like,
yeah, that's something we knew. We knew about this guy.
Right, we kind of knew that already. But it doesn't give us any information or connect thematically with what is happening in the present is my big issue here.
That was happening
in the previous episodes. And I think, like you're indicating, Justin, that divide is getting better. It's still, like you said, it's fun. And
it's a blast.
It's a fun watch, but I don't think it's working.
Skeleton doing the double bird melt through the tank.
Fun moments very throughout. Fun.
That but was awesome.
I mean, we'll see how this wraps up, but I'm definitely feeling like this is not an episodic TV show right now. And this episode in particular felt to me like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes of a movie stuck with a part of the character Bible that James Gunn fleshed out into a script. That's what I'm getting from this.
Wow. Take it easy on your alleged father, please, because this is
Sean Gunn, the voice of Weasel and G.I. Robot is my dad.
And Clayface, it turns out. That's Alan Tudyk.
More like two roles.
I just think that this continues to be a blast. And there's this real complicated thing where it's like there are moments where you think Frank is – like pursuing something and you're kind of rooting for it, but then you're not. And it keeps revealing that Frank is a horrible person and should be nowhere near the bride, nor does he deserve the bride. It is just, it's an emotional roller coaster every episode. And we get the kind of reveal of where the princess stands, because there was like last episode we're like, oh, maybe the princess is evil and in on this, and because they couldn't get a hold of her and they weren't sure what was going on, but she's just a regular old princess trying to do the best that she can here.
Wow, you're really being drawn in by Alana's personality, Pete.
Are you team Alana?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
do you want her to kill the creature commandos?
Yeah,
our
definitely
favorite characters.
Man, Pete meets a princess.
Let's take it back to the start of the episode.
Let me ask you a question. So you're team princess, but you're also just in general team old lady.
Yeah.
So is that what turned you? The fact that Aaron Frankenstein killed the old lady? You're like, no, I'm done with these monsters.
That was super brutal and very upsetting. I mean, the whole dog scratching at the door thing is just, so
on the positive side, though, Frankenstein didn't want her to be lonely. So that's like kind of a kindness to kill her in that case. Do you agree?
Yeah. No, I don't agree. He could have not killed either one of them and left them just as they were, just fine.
But you live alone and you've begged me to kill you several times.
That is beside the point. And on separate occasions.
Wow. Yes, there are multiple separate reasons for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was out of popcorn at the time. You know, I mean,
kill me. Kill me. I've only got kernels left.
It's sad when you get to the end of the popcorn bag and there's no more popcorn, all right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Everybody knows
you
that.
You don't need to tell me. I get it.
Thank you.
Yeah. A lot of the bottoms of bags at movie theaters say kill me at the bottom. Just remind me that you might as well die.
No, they say you don't do it. It's a positive.
Yeah, they're trying to save you.
Yeah.
It's the only thing stopping you from pulling the trigger.
I always cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn bag so that people don't get that message. All right. That's why. That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
No
just
other
a
reasons.
Tiny hole. Tiny hole, right, Alex?
The smallest, like a micro hole, if you will.
Oh my God, that is great. So gross.
Wait, so he doesn't kill the dog, right?
Yeah,
right.
He takes the dog with him.
Uh-huh. But the dog was the
oh,
yeah,
yeah,
where's
right,
the dog?
Exactly.
Did right off camera that he just snapped that dog's neck?
No, I think it'll, we'll get maybe
like
more of that.
Like he's having a lobster claw. But why the dog and the lady were friends. She wasn't lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he kill her?
Yeah, dog doesn't count.
Because he was taking the dog. That's why. He was like, don't worry. I won't leave you alone.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. He's a fucked up
guy. Also, I just want to note for any of our listeners who are screaming this right now, we know that dogs don't live for hundreds of years. Or at least I know that. I don't want to speak for you guys.
Okay, thank you.
What are you talking about?
My
dog's,
the dog's not alive in the present because dogs don't live that long.
No.
Okay. He could have let the dog live out its natural life.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it's been about hundreds of years. I'm just saying the reason the dog doesn't appear in the current day scenes is dogs don't live that long.
But Alex, you sound like you're testing the theory.
You don't know if that's the reason or not. I mean, logically, there's a point to it, but it's, you know, that doesn't mean that the dog.
It sounds like you had a childhood dog that you hope is still alive. Yeah, like, dogs don't live forever, right, guys?
Somewhere.
My dog's upstate.
I mean, I'm asking you guys. There's a little question mark at the end. I'm turning on my voice.
Can we please take it back to the beginning? I want to talk about the fun twists and turns that we get with the who is this teacher, you know, the teaching a class on, I think, purposely pronouncing it wrong, the mascara. I thought that was a fun bit. And then pretending, getting in a student's face, pretending to fall asleep, and then saying the lesbians, like, that was insane. And it was fun that they were watching from outside, and then students are like, why is there a giant monster over there? And then his contact bit that actually worked was really funny. I thought that was
I did mark down the line as just being a absolutely gross but funny line where they say, we got to search her house. And Frankenstein says, okay, I'll take the underwear drawer.
Very funny. Well, funny. And here's the thing, a couple things on that. We have a Clayface here that is
not my Clayface.
Yeah, you'd hate this Clayface, right?
Yeah.
Because why? Because he kills people and...
Well, because, you know, the Harley Quinn animated series did such a fun choice with this Clayface, leaning into the actor's side and kind of having this be this fun thespian that this douchey guy who wants to talk about lesbians and play video games, like, I you know, that it's not as fun for me after I've seen this.
Same
other
actor, though. Alan Tudyk does the voice on Harley Quinn and did the voice here on Creature Commandos.
I'm glad it's the same voice.
Justin, what were you going to bring up, though?
Well, it is strange that how different the characterizations were here when you could have done the same.
I mean, this is a pretty dark show.
So this gets to maybe a bigger outside question that we've talked about a lot because this is the kickoff of the DCU. But Harley Quinn is not a DCU show. It's set in its own continuity with Kite Man. Hell yeah. It's off to the side. This is an official DCU show. However, a week or two ago, they finally officially confirmed that they're doing a live-action Clayface movie that Mike Flanagan wrote. He's not directing it because he doesn't have time in his schedule. They're getting a new director, but apparently the script is done. They're happy with it. It's going to come out in 2026. That is DCU. It's not connected to the Batman, so it's connected to this. So what do you think we're supposed to take away from that? Is this... Clayface survives at the end of the episode, is going to be played by Alan Tudyk on screen. It's a different Clayface. It's a prequel. What do you think's happening there? And Pete, question from you first.
Yeah, first off, and we know Mike Flanagan from...
Oh, sure. Who's Mike Flanagan? Mike Flanagan is a writer-director mostly known for horror, so you would probably know him. But Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor,
I don't want
Sleep.
This guy anywhere near this.
No, he's perfect. He is perfect. I wish he was directing it. I also wish he was doing a direct adaptation of the Lansing
Feet
and
of Clay.
Kelly. Feet of Clay would be great, but he could do that, or he could do like the Lansing Kelly Clayface One Bad Day thing that was also
just talking like scary shit.
No, Feet of Clay was the two-part Clayface episode from Batman animated series, just excellent.
But sad, so, as I recall.
Yeah, that's what I hope it is. Because that, to me, has the horror
elements. I'm the only one who wants some humor.
I'm sure there'll be humor. Mike Flanagan writes funny stuff as well. But
you listed nothing that was funny.
I don't think it's going to be a goofy, funny... You haven't seen any of those things. I don't think it's going to be a goofy, funny Clayface.
I saw the animated two-part thing.
Pete's mic and ask Justin the question that I was asking. What's your take on where this sits with that movie?
I mean... I think this is probably completely unrelated. I don't think Mike Flanagan would be interested in writing a Clayface that we see here. Like, I don't know what the point exactly would be. Well, it's much more real to go lean into the actor identity, the loss of identity that Clayface had in the Feet of Clay story or in other sort of iterations of him. That, to me, is where the movie would go, and it feels like it's completely disconnected from this.
But that's weird, right? I think there's a certain level of that being weird in terms of a cinematic universe. Obviously, we'll see what happens, but I think maybe if you said it as a prequel taking place before that, where, yes, like you're saying, it is somebody who's slowly melting into clay and disassociating, that definitely ties into the sort of thing that Flanagan talks about all the time. So I guess we'll see. It's just... I don't know. I still get very stuck, and I know this is my comic book brain, but I get very stuck on, like, this is a weird kickoff to the DCU that's setting up a lot of things that connect to other things, but also don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and let me say, if that's the path they go, where like, hey, I know he did this before, but like, it's different now, don't worry about it. I don't mind that. I mind the fussiness more, where it's like, aha, did you see in that Clayface that he was electrocuted and that was an actual connection to the fact that in the movie there will be electricity? And I'm just like, what? I don't – that's annoying. Like,
yeah,
we don't
but we do
that.
Have to have a scene where if it is a prequel where Clayface is like kind of into Mortal Kombat in the arcade and then eventually plays it on Xbox. Like, you know,
that was hilarious. Yeah. If we get back to the show a little bit, this is
all about the show.
All the show.
When he was sitting there outside the classroom, Flag and Frankie there. And he was like, okay, here's the plan. And he was like, you want me to kill the professor? He's like, no. He's like, do you want me to kill the children? Like, oh my God. Like, this guy is hilarious.
It is funny. And let me say, is Frankenstein DC's Drax? Is that what we're getting here?
Ooh, there is a little bit of the sense of Drax, yeah, for sure.
Right? I picked up on that,
Deadpool,
except he's a Drax
who is
not. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a Drax that kills people, I guess, yeah. More directly.
But also we get the, right after that fun bit, right into the credits and the song. And I think it's such a high energy, fun tone that this show sets that I just wanted to kind of talk about a little bit of, like, yes, this is more fun than material wise. And it's a little bit of just kind of popcorn, shut off the brain, enjoy the madness.
Don't finish the popcorn, though. It's just a little popcorn.
Just a little bit of a taste. Yeah.
You guys have both given great reasons.
I'm going to cut a little hole in the end credit secrets.
Yeah. You guys have both given great reasons to never finish popcorn.
Wait, I had a question for you, though, Pete. I think you're getting here in your very meticulous notes anyway, but Frankenstein is very suspicious of people who walk cats on a leash.
Yes.
That's his first clue. Something's wrong with the neighborhood. Yep. You're a cat owner. How do you feel about that?
I thought that was a fun comment on someone who hasn't been around for recent kind of developments. The fact that he's like, well, this is something that doesn't happen. And it was like, oh, that's hilarious. You know, of course, that's his take. He doesn't really know that people walk cats now. And that's a thing. So I thought it was a hilarious choice and commentary for someone who's just, you know, outside.
Wait, Pete, you walked a cat on a leash?
No, but I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Some cats do like walks. Others do not. Cats are very fickle.
Wow. The cat commentator entering the chat.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Go ahead, Justin.
I'm just going to – Pete was talking about how he likes the energy of the show. And, you know, I like the energy as well. I think the cross-cutting between the action sequences was really fun later on, the Clayface fight and the other monsters fighting. It's just – to go back to something Alex said earlier, this weirdly for an – episodic, we thought was going to be an episodic animated show. This is sort of stretching, like in the middle of a lot of comic book shows where it's like, oh, this is an episode that doesn't have a lot happening in it. In the middle, that is just sort of filling time before we get to the next big thing. And this coming on a show that I think at the top in the first two episodes, I was like, wow, there's so much happening in this show. Mm-hmm. How are they going to keep paying all of this off? And I think the answer is they're going to sort of slow down.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it feels like, and this is assuming a lot, but it feels like the sort of thing of you can write an outline for a movie because like we talked about with the first couple episodes, it's pretty much the Suicide Squad except with monsters.
Yeah.
You don't quite have enough. You have like half an hour of story. So how do you flesh it out? Maybe throw some of the backstory that I've worked out, like these one or two pages about the characters in there. And then you realize, oh, wait, I can split up that half hour story into seven bits and then put one for each of the characters or, you know, six total. I guess the first episode didn't have a flashback. And that fleshes out the time. So we get a 7 half-hour TV show versus a 45-minute movie or something.
I mean,
like
you guys can say there isn't a lot happening here, but I enjoy the small moments. I mean, seeing Frank, you know, kind of floating sadly down this river, he is saved by this dog and this woman, And the first thing he does is like, what tomfoolery is this? I mean, that's just hilarious. And I enjoyed these kind of low moments. It's I don't know. It's nice that a show that's so insane. And I do wish we got to kind of sit in the action a little bit more, because they're so epic and such huge battle scenes. But the fact that we're also seeing Frankenstein heal up and maybe be a better person. Like, I don't know why I keep rooting for him. I think it's because if he's going to really go for the bride, you know, the classic kind of rom-com is these people deserve each other. So,
well, but I think the idea here is it is the classic rom-com of guy goes after the girl and she keeps rejecting him, but she's been rejecting him for centuries at this point.
Yeah.
So I do think that's what James Gunn is.
But you're rooting for the couple to happen. This is not more we find out, the more we're like, oh God, these people should never be together, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the theme for sure that James Gunn is playing with. Why don't you talk about some of the cliffhanger stuff? What do you think is happening with Rick Flag? Is he dead? Is his back broken?
R.I.P.
Corpse. Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, so he is coming back in Peacemaker Season 2 in Superman. Do you think they're going to do like a Weekend at Bernie's situation?
Oh, classic.
That would be fun. No, I think he's going to be fine. Maybe Frankenstein will do something to help him out.
Maybe he'll go
some
to
that ointment. He could rub that ointment on it.
Yeah, get that ointment. Maybe he'll go to like, Batman's back camp. You know, when you get your neck snapped in half, you go to Batman's back camp and then he just takes care of your back.
Oh, nice.
Back camp, not bat camp.
Backman.
Back camp. Yeah.
Back camp.
Are you talking about Batman's bat camp or Batman's back camp?
The second one.
Okay.
Yeah, you go to Batman's bat camp to learn how to be a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman.
Batman bat camp.
It's good. We'll continue warming up so we can start our podcast. These are our theater warm-ups we're doing. Flag, right.
Is he dead?
I think he's going to be fine. I mean, we're setting
how
up
is he going to be fine?
He's going to be fine. It's a superhero.
We have two more episodes.
I don't know. It'll be fine. He's going to be totally fine. He's coming back at these shows. It's not really a question in my mind. So kind of a funny cliffhanger to have there, but
here's a prediction that won't come true. Flag's going to wake up with POV on his eyes opening and be Frankenstein over his head about to smash him or something.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, you're alive. Perfect. Oh, take me to the bride.
Yeah, I thought you were lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Another thing I wanted to call out, and again, this is very Easter egg brain, but I really feel like they're driving hard on this, is when they're exploring McPherson's house, they pause on a Wonder Woman style winged helmet.
Yes.
And they just stop there and they're like, it's a very long shot. What is going on with this? Because they keep hitting Themyscira. We saw Wonder Woman obviously dead in the Justice League dead Vision montage. But I feel like they're hitting it too hard not to pay that off in some fashion.
Also, that little kind of like trophy in the book case that almost looked like something like Batman would have, where you kind of pull on it and it's the,
yeah, that was the helmet. We're talking about the same thing, I think.
No, well, there's the little bronze statue and then there's the silver helmet. And then by the end of it, the one's on top of the other.
Yeah. That's silver. Pete, when you walk around a mansion, which I know you do often, do you pull on stuff, hoping a secret?
Oh my God. Every time I see something that like sticks out
billionaires actually, and I've read this in the news a lot, billionaires call Pete books on the floor on the page because
that's right.
You invite him over to the house, he's just pulling that whole library down.
Yeah, we were in that billionaire's mansion. You were searching for a lever in the underwear drawer, which I thought was, I don't think there's one in there, Pete.
It turns out people get upset when they wake up in the middle of the night and you're just flipping their books and pressing buttons on the wall. So it's not enjoyable. But one of these days it's going to work and then it'll all be worth it.
Well, now do you, because I think we lingered on McPherson in the previous episode and I was like, oh, she's probably from Themyscira. She's an expert on Themyscira.
Yeah.
So like the fact that she was dead in this, I was like, huh.
Uh-huh.
So we're setting up some larger story. There's too much emphasis on Themyscira, the Sons of Themyscira, all that, Circe. however you want to say it. Like, there's mm-hmm. there's something there. It's just we've left that plot behind so hard, and these breadcrumbs aren't big enough to even be a snack at the bottom of some sort of movie-style buttered breadcrumb. Don't. But I always get a bag of buttered breadcrumbs when I go to the movies.
Smart.
Yum, yum.
Do and you pay extra for the panko or just, like, regular?
No, I go with regular sort of Hansel and Gretel style breadcrumbs, you know.
Wow.
From a harsh.
I went to this make your own breadcrumbs place the other day. It was so good. You just sit there and like crumble up the bread and then they take it into the back. They roast it for you. Roast it? I don't know. Toast it.
Roast it. Toast. More toasted than roasted.
That was the name of the restaurant. More toasted than roasted. How'd you know?
That's going to be my weed store is going to be called that.
Nice. Oh, look at our businesses. Wow. We're launching.
Come on in for weed and breadcrumbs.
Oh, man, I got the perfect munchies, combo. But I just want to eat a little. I just want a little nosh for the munchies.
Right this way.
I feel like there was something else from the episode I wanted to bring up, but I don't know what it is. What else do you guys want to talk about? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean when Frank tried to hide behind that bird cage, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. You love it.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, the next episode I think is going to get back into the dense plotting and to set up for the finale. So I'm curious, though. They have so much to do with this. Mm-hmm. We haven't really – I feel like we're going to see what? G.I. Robot's going to come back in some capacity. We have done nothing with Nina. Like, it's literally zero. So there has to be a ton of stuff there. Rick Flag, Alana. Alana
I would say there's
going
like
to kill
1%
the DC universe.
Because she's just in the background. She's still there and a part of it, you know.
They literally say the only ones we have to worry about are Doc Phosphorus and the Bride. And the other two are just hiding. It's crazy. Some sort of weasel thing has to happen. Circe, Themyscira. There's like so much to do.
Yeah.
That's why I was so shocked how sort of empty this episode was. Frankenstein and the Bride.
Come on.
Well, we have like 10 plot threads.
And they can do it. I just wonder how they're going to do that with time for the flashbacks at the same time in the episode. So we'll see how they clear the deck. We'll see how they bring it together. I'd also like them, like you kind of indicated, Justin, Circe is completely off screen. We don't talk about the Sons of Themyscira at all. So I feel like we need to get back to that. Obviously, there's bits of it with McPherson, but that does seem like such a major thread to pull on. We also haven't seen Gorilla Grodd at all, who appears in the vision. So that feels like something to pick up on. So yeah, lots to do in the last two episodes of the season. And again, want to emphasize, it's still a fun show.
It's a great show. I'm having a blast.
We're here for it.
I mean, we didn't talk about the bride fight sequences at all. Very impressive. She is such a badass. And the way she brutally attacks those robots and then steals those laser cannons and then, I mean, that was just insane and very impressive.
That reminded me, actually, I wanted to mention an Easter egg that is literally like blink and you miss it. When the bride grabs onto one of the guys who has the rocket packs and they're flying through Pakolistan, there is on one of the buildings on an angle, there is a cigar ad that has a dog in a little general outfit, and its cigar is called Dr. Wesley Von Spears. Dr. Wesley Von Spears is James Gunn's dog who passed away in 2020 because dogs aren't immortal, as we've already established.
Really trying to put it.
Anyway, it's very cute. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. He was also in The Suicide Squad, even though that was released after he passed away. But very cute. If you want to frame by frame, you can see a cigar ad for a Dr. Wesley Von Spears.
Adorable.
Mm. Yeah.
Really cute. And that's a dog we also grew up with.
Yes. Yep. Are we allowed to say that?
Alleged.
Pete?
No, legally? I mean.
Legally?
Legally, he said allegedly, so we're fine.
Thank you.
The ultimate get out of jail free card is just
say
allegedly.
I'll tell you what, those 3 months we paid to put you through lawyer school really paid off.
Thank you.
Yes, lawyer school is what it was called, not law school.
Yeah,
what we paid for was lawyer school.
I got a special deal.
Mm-hmm. It was right next to the Toasted Roast, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice part of town. We should hang out there more.
I agree.
Yeah, we really should. But I mean, buttered breadcrumbs is not a bad idea of a snack. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a great idea.
But when you're stoned, it's a great idea.
Mm. I wouldn't know.
You could say that about
allegedly.
So many things. Yeah.
Allegedly.
You're throwing allegedly on you not smoking weed? I don't think you need an allegedly there, my guy.
Well, anyway, that's a good note to wrap up on. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Coming out, we love to chat with you about the DCU. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, come on down. We'd love to hang with you in town. Go to town.
Yeah, maybe throw an Easter egg of our faces in the background of one of these animated shows.
Yeah, huh? Come
your
on.
Your sons. Your three precious alleged, sons. Or two
alleged
sons. Two sons and a
and
lawyer.
And a lawyer. A lawyer we hired.
It's a great show. Two sons and a lawyer.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.